with the latest news now.
Parts of the UK are experiencing more weather disruption as a major incident has been declared in Nottinghamshire due to flooding. The County Council says a major incident has been declared due to rising levels along the River Trent and that people who live in flood risk areas should be prepared to evacuate their homes. A yellow weather warning has been issued by the Met Office for rain across the south of England. Rishi Sunak says he's working towards a general election in the second half of the year after coming under pressure to call a vote sooner. The Prime Minister dangled the prospect of future tax cuts to voters and attacked Keir Starmer's Green proposals as the two leaders set out their stalls at the start of the election year. As of this afternoon, FTSE 100 bosses will have earned more than the average UK worker makes in a year. The TUC says the analysis shows obscene levels of pay inequality. We spoke to Nicola Smith from the TUC. She said this is extreme.
So we're only on the 4th of January, we've only been back at work a couple of days, but pay inequality in the UK is so extreme that those at the very top have already earned more than pretty much everybody else is going to earn until New Year 2025.
The so-called Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for two suicide bombings targeting a memorial service for an Iranian general killed in a 2020 US drone strike. An attack there yesterday killed at least 84 people and wounded another 284. World Braille Day is today. The day raises awareness of the importance of Braille. Matthew Horspool from the Braillist Foundation spoke to us about how it is useful.
It's important to celebrate, really, the fact that it has evolved and the fact that it is still useful. It's useful as a reading medium. You know, you can read books in Braille. You can still get Braille books if you want, and a lot of people do.
And Britney Spears says she'll never return to the music industry, shutting down speculation that she's working on a new album. The pop superstar made the statement in response to reports that songwriters were gearing up to write songs for her 10th studio album. And that's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Phil Towers.
When you're struggling with debt, you can't leave your future to chance. Trust Credit Fix, the UK's most reliable IVA provider. With more five-star Trustpilot reviews than anyone else in the debt industry, we could help write off up to 81% of what you owe. Don't leave debt to chance. Leave it to Credit Fix. Text ACT to 60777 today. Terms apply, not suitable for all. Can affect credit. For more, see creditfix.co.uk/add terms. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village.
The rain in the south should be clearing to the east, mostly dry elsewhere, clear spells in the west, a few coastal showers and lows of 6 degrees Celsius.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village, here for health and well-being. Find out about free tasters on the many exciting classes available, including training in the indoor and outdoor gym and much more. See ymcanewarksherwood.org for details.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Do as you set me free from all the things that held me back from just being me. Thank you for all the sweetness. Now I can finally breathe. Now I can finally breathe. But baby, don't you see? I still get frustrated and can lie when you keep on doing things I don't like. And I hate your friends and I hate your mood. And I still love you. I got 21 reasons why.
Company, but baby,
three, four, five, six, seven, and nine, ten. Keep on counting. I still love you. I got 21 reasons why I do.
Good evening and welcome to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey. I've got Johnny with me this evening. Johnny, how are you?
I'm all good, pal. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, mate. Thank you. We have got an amazing evening lined up tonight. We have with us a European Tour caddy. Steve, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No, no problem at all. Thank you for coming in. So we got Steve Brotherhood with us tonight. We're going to get an insight to what it's like to be a caddy on the tour. Meet some of the great players. We've always mentioned Tommy Fleetwood at the minute, so we're going to have a chat about that. But in a minute, straight after this song, Joyner and I are going to just talk very, very briefly this evening about the sport that's happened over the last couple of weeks in Newark locally. There isn't a lot. There's lots of water everywhere, so it's put pay to a lot of the sport. But we'll do that as soon as we get back. Jackie Wilson there with the sweetest feeling, and welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey and Joyner. And in a second, we're going to be talking to Steve Brotherhood about the European Tour as a golf caddy. But Joyner, we didn't have much sport this last couple of weeks, did we?
No, mate. Really, I think over the Christmas period, I think football's been the sport that's been prominent despite the weather. Flowserve Boxing Day ended up with a 2-1 defeat against Lincoln United. Which sounded a close affair, with Lincoln United obviously pushing for promotion.
They're a good side, aren't they?
And then on Saturday, they suffered another defeat against Skegness Town 4-1, which has resulted in two losses over the Christmas period. Newark Town, we played Southmore United on the day after Boxing Day, and we lost 3-2, which was a very close affair. Southall hadn't played for, I think it was about 4 weeks due to the weather, so obviously came into the game with probably a bit of lack of fitness, shall we say, but they certainly did well in the game, to be fair, and it was only probably the back end of the game, the last 20 minutes really, when they started to flag a little bit. And
where are Southall in the league, Johnna?
I think they're 4th, 5th bottom.
Oh, okay, so it was a good win for them, wasn't it?
Well, Newark won 3-2.
So, oh, sorry, I thought you said Southall won.
No, Newark won 3-2 with a last-minute own goal. But Southall certainly put a good account across for themselves. And then we went to Clipston Saturday, 2nd versus 3rd, 2-0 down after 20 minutes. And then I'm pleased to say the lads put a shift in and we ended up getting a point out of the game. When technically, I think if the game had gone 10 minutes longer, I think we'd have got the 3 points, to be fair. So we picked up 4 points out of the 6. So, leaves Newark Town in 3rd place, in a good position for promotion. So, we'll see what the second half of the season brings.
Brilliant. Okay. I haven't got anything for the rugby this week. As I say, the rugby club is underwater. I know they had a couple of things on over Christmas, and it's been really good. So, we will catch up with those guys next week, if there again is going to be any sport, but I really can't see anything at the rugby club. Even the training on Sundays, I think, looks ominous. So thanks for that, Tony. We will we'll speak to you next week on local sport again, and we will be back talking to Steve in a few moments.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
How does it feel when you stop smoking?
Brilliant, I've finally quit.
It feels good.
I was so proud of myself.
I can keep up with my kids now.
I feel a lot richer.
I just feel fitter and healthier.
I feel like I've got my life back.
It's an amazing feeling when you stop smoking. Experience it for yourself with help from Smoke Free. Our range of free support can help you quit for good, from our app to emails, face-to-face and online communities. Search Smoke Free, because there's only one you.
So, let's talk about you. Actually, let's talk about me, just for a bit, because I was like you. In 40-odd years, I hadn't done much exercise, but I knew I had to start. So, I got the Couch to 5K app. From not being able to run for more than a minute, 9 weeks later, I was running for half an hour. It's simple, it's free, and it's all planned out. With a little support, it's amazing what your body can do. Join thousands of monthly users. Download the free One You Couch to 5K app now, because there's only one you.
The National Civil War Centre and Newark Museum is now free for residents of Newark and Sherwood. Enjoy fascinating galleries, fun interactives, a brilliant dressing up area and more. As well as fantastic family events every month. Plus, discover more about the town with hidden history walking tours every Saturday, where you'll uncover the secrets of streets you walk every day. The National Civil War Centre is open Tuesday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Find out more at nationalcivilwarcentre.com or follow them on Facebook.
Smith's Timber Merchants are a family-run business serving the local community. Our range of products is enormous and our customer service is second to none. It's one of the reasons we've been around since 1862, and we offer free local delivery with no minimum value. We're open Monday to Saturday from 8 till 5 and Sundays from 10 till 2. Smith's Timber Merchants are proud to be local. Visit us on Appleton Gate, Newark. Call Newark 702573 or find us online at smithstimber.co.uk.
I can't get late. Mess in darkness, no electricity. Something's all over me, greasy. Insomnia, please release me and let me dream of making mad love to my girl on the heath. Tearing off tights with my teeth, but there's no relief, no peace. I toss and turn without cease, like a curse. Open my eyes and rise like yeast. At least a couple of weeks since I last slept, kept taking sleepers. But now I keep myself pep. Deeper still, the night I write by candlelight, I find insight, fundamental movement. So when it's black, this insomniac, take an original tack. Keep the beast in my nature under ceaseless attack. I get no sleep, 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 sleep. I can't get no sleep, sleep, sleep.
A very good evening and welcome back to Radio Newark Sport. You're with Gory and Joyno. How are we doing, Joyno?
Yeah, so good, Paul. So?
Brilliant. I'm really looking forward to this tonight. So, Steve Rutherford, welcome.
Thank you very much.
How are you doing?
All right. Yeah, good.
Thanks. Good, good. Well, it's an honour to meet you. We've just been talking about some of the golfers you know and caddied for. But before we get to that, let's talk about Steve and how you kind of got into it, and obviously from Atherston.
I am, yeah, originally. So I think back as a young kid, my dad got me into golf. I was a footballer at the time, under eights, under nines, under tens at Atherston Rangers, and always sitting on the bench, pretty useless really. And then my dad took me golfing and saw a bit of a talent in me really. So took up golf.
What age was that?
I was about eight at the time when I first started. I had a junior set of clubs, really. Wasn't allowed to join the golf club till I was 12. Okay. But I used to go and play Amington in Tamworth around the municipal course with my dad quite a few times. So, yeah, and I joined at 12 years old and broke 100 for the first time when I was 11. Wow. So, yeah, dad thought, yeah, he's pretty decent here. So I think as a young kid, every young lad, especially when I got to 15, I was off scratch when I was 15, so I was playing a lot of sort of midland stuff.
Hang on a second, just don't brush that over, Steve. You were scratch at 15?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I think every childhood dream, I mean, Tiger was obviously it still is my hero, really, and everyone wants to be like Tiger Woods when they're older. So when I got to scratch at 15, I thought, well, that's it. This is my job for the rest of my life. I'm going to be a tour pro. I'm going to earn millions. I'm going to have a big car, big house. How wrong I was. So I turned pro at the age of 20 and went on the Euro Pro Tour and the Midland Circuit. And I did 3 years. And you know what? I tried my best, but I just weren't good enough.
When you do that, is quite an expensive thing to do because you've got to find your flights, you've got to find
absolutely. Well, your balls. The good thing with the Euro Pro Tour, it was mainly UK based.
Oh, okay.
So, but it was still £275 to enter the event, and it was a 3-day event. So then you got your accommodation fees for 3 or 4 days, practice rounds and stuff. Mm. So it was £600-700 expenses each week, and then it was quite top heavy. So 10 grand if you won, 5 grand for second, and then if you didn't really finish in the top 10, you was losing money. So, and obviously most weeks I was losing money. But my old man was my biggest supporter, and you know, he kept backing me, kept chucking money at it, and probably one of the hardest conversations I've ever had after the 3 years of giving it a bash and saying to him, look, you know, we need to pack this in, I can't keep taking your money and wasting it, because I'm just not good enough. I'm seeing these lads come from all over the world to play in these events, and don't forget, these are no mugs, they're all good golfers.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just going to be a breeze, I'm just going to go in and, you know, and play and win stuff and make loads of money, but so wrong.
How does it work? So have you got to finish in a certain, at a certain point to make it to the
Pro Tour? Yeah, I mean, back in the day when I was playing, if you finished top five in the order of merit over the year on the Euro Pro, you got a card on the Challenge Tour.
Okay. Now,
my best finish was about 30th in the 3 years, but that's a long, long way away from fifth, you know, and the likes of someone like Lee Slattery, for example. He won the Euro Pro Tour when I was playing, and obviously went on to be a European Tour player. There's a lot of us. Tom Whitehouse was there, Sam Walker, and they've all sort of tried to become golfers, and Tom's now coaching along with Sam. You know, Phil Kenyon, he was playing at the time. He's now one of the world's best putting coaches.
Wow.
So all from my sort of age group, when we were all thinking we're going to be superstars, we're now all on the tour at some way or the other, but not in the way that we was expecting.
You look at the Euro Pro Tour and then you get a card.
Yeah.
What is the difference in the jump up? How big is that jump?
I wouldn't say from Euro Pro to Challenge Tour, but if you went from Euro Pro to European Tour,
yeah,
I would put it, for example, like getting from 36 to scratch as an amateur golfer. That's the difference in level.
In level.
Now, all these kids that sort of email me and follow me on Instagram and stuff, and they send me messages saying, oh, what do I need to do to get to, you know, to be a European Tour player? It is so, so difficult because there's no mugs out there anymore. It's not like the everyday journeyman. These kids are coming through, they're hitting it 340 yards through the air and just brilliant, you know. So it's really, really difficult unless you, I mean, like Ludvig Hedberg just come through, you know, he's just first year on tour, you know, he's played Ryder Cup, he's won an event, he's a special talent. But all these kids are coming through exactly the same, and there's going to be a lot more follow.
How many are actually on the European Tour?
Well, I mean, members, you've probably got about 250, 300 players, but okay, each week there's the top 156 get a game each week.
Right, okay. Because there's a lot of good Scandinavians.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Isn't there? I mean, look at the Hovland for starters, I mean. But
yeah, I mean, your Hovlands, they've come through, twins, obviously. They're a talent in their own, and they've come out and they've dominated the tour straight away, and now we're going to lose them to the PGA Tour this year, you know. So it's normally what happens. They come through the European Tour ranks and then they go and get all the world ranking points on the PGA Tour, and you know, we see them 3 or 4 times a year.
What that's an interesting point. That let's I'll talk that about in a second. We're just gonna have a quick break and then we'll be back with you, Steve.
Okay.
Welcome back to Radio Newark. That was Brother Beyond, a very old favourite of mine. Welcome back to Radio Newark. We've got Joyno and we've got Steve Brotherhood here with us from the European Tour as a caddy. I just want to say, I've just been talking about handicaps and Steve's playing off plus three. I could only dream of that, Joyno. Plus three. That's, So when you drive now then, Steve, are you long or are you just accurate?
No, I'm pretty straight, but not very long.
Right, okay. Because Newark's not an easy course, is it? Because if you're off the fairway, you tend to be in trouble at Newark, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with Newark, it's not the longest of tracks, so you take your medicine on the harder holes and then take advantage of the holes that are pretty easy, really.
Yeah. Just before we went to the break, we talked about a lot of the pros moving across, some of the good pros from the European Tour going to America. But we've just been talking about the LIV Tour as well.
Yeah.
So this put a right spanner in the works for all of the tours, really, hasn't it?
In a way, yeah. I think it needed it to shake the tours up a little bit, in a way. Ever since I've been a caddy, it's always been the good players have come through, played one or two seasons on the European Tour, got the PGA Tour card, and then gone to America because that's where the money and the world ranking points are. And obviously, the more up the world ranking points you get, the better tournaments you get to play in, and then things like Ryder Cup come along, and you know, and that's where you make a name for yourself. So it's always been, in my eyes, the European Tour has always been a stepping stone to get to the PGA Tour. Now all of a sudden LIV's come along, all right, it's a little bit different. You haven't got to try and qualify for the LIV, they're just bunging your money to come and play for them.
Yeah.
But I think, so you know, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but down the line, I think the PGA Tour and the European Tour have really got to sit down and think where they're going to go, because Saudi money's an unlimited pot at the end of the day. They'll just keep pumping money into it till they get the best players in the world. And we've read in the papers this week and on social media that Rory sort of had a bit of a U-turn on what he said about, you know, players going away and supporting their families and taking the money. And all right, people, you know, say, oh, does he really need that kind of money? But I'm not being funny. I don't care what work of life you're in. If someone says to you, right, this is a job you're in, but I'm going to go and pay you six times the amount of money you earn to come and play for us, you're going to do it. You know, I don't think you can have enough money, because like the John Rahm situation, he's going to support his families and his kids and his grandkids and so on and so forth down the line. So, I'd beg to differ that anyone could come and speak to me and say I would never have took $600 million to go and play LIV Tour.
That's what Radio Newark offered me to come here, Joyner.
£6, they told me.
Just quickly, when you say the PGA, obviously bigger money, I get that, tournaments. But how do the point system work, that they get more points? How does that work to get to the Ryder
Cup? It's the best players in the world. So the better players in the world play on the PGA Tour. So when you compete against the best players in the world, like your Scottie Schefflers, your Tiger Woods back in the day when he was playing, your Phil Mickelsons when they were on that tour, if you beat them, obviously you're beating that better ranked player. So you move up in the world ranking points.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
So the better the field, the better you do in a field that is a top field, the more world ranking points you get, and that what's bumps you up the ladder.
Okay. Right, okay. Because that's actually clear that up, because I never knew really how that I kind of came together.
Yeah,
the Ryder Cup's a lot easier. Top whatever it is, players playing it from both countries.
But again, that's playing to get to the Ryder Cup. You need to play in the big events against the best players in the world to get those points.
Okay. So, Steve Brotherhood, we're a caddy now. That will come about, Steve.
So thought I was going to make it as a player and didn't, and then it was the end of 2004, and I just had that conversation with the old man and said, look, you know, I need to find a job. I've got to do something different. I left school and went into a golf shop and then did a bit of sales in mobile phones and stuff. And I thought about going back into the mobile phone industry and selling phones on the road and stuff. And then a good friend of mine back in the day, Steve Webster, had got a tour card. Yeah. And he approached me and said, look, I'm going out to Australia. This is Christmas, end of 2004, going out to Australia for a few weeks. Do you fancy coming along? Just carry the bag for a few weeks. I've got three events, but going to spend 5 weeks out there. He said, you know, I'll pay all your expenses for you. And, you know, if we do all right, I'll give you a drink at the end of it.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, yeah, why not? I haven't got a job at the minute, so this would be perfect. So went out there. We had a 10th spot and made both other cuts. Had an amazing time in Australia, travelled all around Oz. He paid for everything. And then when I got back, I'd got a cheque for $5,000. A cheque back in them days. A cheque,
yeah.
A cheque. And I'm like, wow, what have I been doing? Eating a little white ball around this field when I can carry someone's bag and earn this kind of money. So then it went a little bit quiet for a couple of weeks. And then I get a message from Webby saying, can I get your dad's mobile number? So I sent it him. And then my dad rings me. He said, look, he said, Webby's just asked me if he minds asking you if you want the job full time as a caddy.
And that's a nice way of doing it.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was fair play because he knew that my dad was my biggest supporter and wanted me to carry on trying to play. And
right.
Dad wanted me to give it another year, and I didn't want to give it another year. And I said, Dad, I've got to do this. This is the only way I'm going to earn a living. You know, so he said, well, okay, well, give it a bash and see if you can earn some money. And if you fancy having another go at it later on, and you got a pot of gold in the bank, then fair enough.
Mm.
So I started with Webby. January 2005, we'd go out to all these wonderful countries. You know, I'm 25 years old, I've been on two planes in my life, and now I'm doing 30 weeks a year on the European tour. And then came to March, get to Italy, and Steve won his first European tour event 9 weeks after me starting caddying. And then
wow.
wrote me a cheque for £14,600.
Another check,
yeah. You know, and that was that. So, and here I am 20 seasons later, about to go out again in a couple of weeks' time.
Was that a percentage of the win?
Yeah, so,
that's a percentage.
So caddy gets 10% for a win. So,
right, okay.
So yeah, obviously the bigger the check, the more money you earn, prize fund.
So, are you under as much pressure as the caddy, as the guy that's hitting the ball?
I'd be honest if I say you don't feel pressure, because if I make a mistake, that could result in costing the player a shot or two shots or even worse. And believe me, we've made mistakes over the years. But what I would say is that I think over the time and the experience that I've got now, I'm pretty level-headed, pretty calm. And the caddy's role is to, when the player is up, is to keep him up, but yeah. Not get too excited. And when he's down, is to get him back up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's... You know, I've used some explicits over the years to players, but they've needed it because they're acting like children. You know, so it's almost like you just got to give them a kick up the arse and say, right, come on, you know, it's not over yet, blah, blah, blah. Something that I probably could have done with back in the day as a player, because my mental attitude as a golfer stunk. It was awful.
Mine's bad, Steve.
And I think that's where I've become a better caddy, because I can see myself in some of the players that I've caddied for and me done it and think, right, what would I want? And now I would need a kick up the arse. So that's how I've gone about doing it.
Do you think that, you know, you talk about the attitude.
Mm.
Mine came from, because I think I was a footballer, and you want to win all the time and you're aggressive. And
yeah.
Golf's the other way around.
Absolutely.
And I couldn't make that transition, I don't think. So when I made a bad shot, I knew I'd made a bad
yeah.
shot.
And I suppose everyone around you did as well.
They did.
Yeah. And that's where that you ever watch the good golfers on TV, and David Howell, we've mentioned him off air, and he wasn't the best ball striker in the world. And he'll probably admit this. I hope he's not listening. but he wasn't the best ball striker in the world. But his mental game, he just believed that he was going to get from A to B to C in as little shots as possible. And even if he didn't go quite wrong, he was still kicking himself up the arse, and he was still telling himself, right, come on, setting himself little targets.
Yeah.
And that's why he was, you know, that's why he's earned 20 million in his career.
Wow. I mean, we'll talk about Dave when we get back and some of the players that you've caddied for. But we're just going to have a quick break and we'll be back straight away.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
You probably think you're pretty good at multitasking behind the wheel. I mean, you have to multitask to drive. So what's wrong with checking your phone? The thing is, your brain simply doesn't work. Quick reply affects your concentration and makes you less able to react to hazards. If you use a mobile phone while driving, you're 4 times more likely to crash. Think. Put your phone away.
Because we don't want to come to harm, please, please, test the smoke alarm. Press the button, make it bleep, every month so we can sleep. Then if our home fills with smoke before we sputter and we choke, we'll wake up without a doubt and we'll all have time to get out.
Test your smoke alarms every month without fail. Even if they're mains powered, even if they have a 10-year battery. Fire kills. You can prevent it.
When you want to enhance your outside space with a brand new driveway, you need a company you can depend on. A company that values reputation and trust, and one that delivers quality through detail. One name stands out from the rest. CF Surfacing. We'll work with you from start to finish and deliver the perfect driveway for you. CF Surfacing are part of CF Construction, a recognised name in the region and still a family-run business. Call CF Surfacing to discuss your project on 01522 253333 or see our website cfconstruction.co.uk/surfacing.
Back to Radio Newark Sport with Gory and Joino, and we've got Steve Brotherwood with us this evening. He's a caddy on the golf tour, European tour, and we've just had a just dropping a few names. So you are now the course record holder at Newark.
I am.
64, you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Robert Rock used to be, so obviously a tour pro as well.
Yeah.
So Steve Webster was your first real caddy.
Yeah.
Pro.
Yeah.
Where did you go from there? How's the route from there?
So finished with Steve. Unfortunately, his mum got very ill, so he had to take a bit of time off. So it obviously left me without a player at the time. And I went to work for Paul Broadhurst, who was again an Atherstone lad who I grew up with. Actually, quite a funny story. I actually first caddied for Broadie when I was 12 years old. So Atherstone Golf Club. There wasn't many juniors, but I'd sort of won every tournament at Atherstone in 97 at 12 years old, and Brodie did the presentation night, so he came over and sat with us, and you know, and I'm starstruck, 12 years old, poor Brodie sitting with us, and he says to me, what are you doing in the morning? Dad says, nothing, why, what do you want? And he says, do you want to come and caddy for me in the winter league? Dad says, yes, he's coming. I couldn't get a word in, so Brodie come and pick me up at 7:30 the next morning in his Honda Prelude gold thing he had, and took me at the golf club, and I was with me electric trolley, and paid me a fiver and two bacon sandwiches after half time, and it was and I caddied for him for a while, and then went on to caddy for his dad in the winter league. His dad's only got one arm, he lost his arm in a machine accident, but still played off 22, brilliant one-handed golfer.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Unbelievable. What, we had some right laughs. This is all me growing up till the age of probably about 14, 15, and then obviously went on tour and caddy for Brodie, and then a few years ago Brodie's lad Sam had an invite into a tournament in South Africa, and I went and caddy for Sam in there as well. So for three generations of Brodie I've caddy for.
So you've seen a bit of the world, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, definitely,
so,
yeah.
So I saw Paul play in Muirfield 2002. I think he was in the Open.
Yeah.
I watched him drop a 35-foot putt, which is like, God.
That's a tapping for him.
It is a tapping for him, yeah. So what happened after Paul?
So Paul Broadhurst lost his card, unfortunately. So then I caddied for Anthony Wall, who's now commentating on Sky. Did a couple of years with Wally. And then I got the sack from Wally at the end of 2010, sent me a text message, which was nice.
So he said to you because?
No reason, just
wanted to change.
Time's come to an end, yeah. 2 years together, and you know, that was that. And then I remember I was at Atherstone Football Club taking my gran and granddad out for dinner, and I have a phone call from David Howell. Now, I knew Howler, but not very, very well, just to say hello to and have a little chat, but. And he sort of did me a little interview over the phone. Would you like to come and work for me, starting in South Africa, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, I'd love to. Anyway, about 10 minutes after we finished the phone call, he rang me back and said, right, you've got the job.
Wow.
And I worked for Howler for 7 years.
Oh, that's a real feather in your cap, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's in a caddy's point of view, it's very hard to hold a job for such a long time, because it's like a marriage, really.
Yeah.
You know, and... You know, unfortunately, you know, they're the women and we're the men, and they're always right and we're always wrong. So, sorry to all the lady listeners.
I was going to say, I didn't say that.
I just lost a few friends. But no, it is like a marriage, and you know, and unfortunately, when you get on, you'd basically live in out of each other's pockets all the time.
Yeah.
30 weeks a year, different countries, you know, and everything comes to an end. And that's how it did.
You mentioned marriage. It's quite hard for you when you're away all the time, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's difficult, especially having a couple of young kids at home. And, you know, I did 33 weeks this year, so it's a lot. And that was only because I'm working for a young kid now. Normally, it's around about 25 weeks, so it's a lot better. But seems to be like I've been away a lot this year. And it's but hopefully we can plan the schedule a little bit better this year and get better.
Let's just go back to David Howell, because I've always liked him as a golfer.
Yep.
I think he was an amazing golfer. And he's probably listening tonight because this is world famous radio.
Absolutely,
show.
Absolutely, yeah.
How was he as a person and a player? And he must have been great to work for, because when I watched him play, he was always in there or thereabouts of winning the tournament. He didn't just go and turn up and...
No, he's very... he had his ways. He always had his routines, knew how he wanted things doing. You know, I always had to go and set the putting stuff up on the putting green. He'd know he'd want 10 piles of 5 balls on the range, so he'd hit 50 balls. He's very meticulous in what he did. But he was fair. if we did something right, he would praise you and he'd make sure you're aware of you've done something right. But then if you do something wrong, he'd make you aware that you've done something wrong as well. So, which I quite liked, you know, he was good like that. And, you know, we had a really good relationship. And I think towards the end, it was more, we were more friends than sort of boss and employee, really, because we've still got a really good relationship together. And, you know, and yeah, he's been very good to me over the years.
As a caddy, you don't just carry the clubs, do you?
No.
You know, you got to keep the clubs dry, but also you get your little book out.
Yeah.
You do the distancing.
Yeah.
Do you tell him what club he needs, or does he say, okay, what do you think? What's the...
So, at the end of the day, the final decision is the player's decision. They can only take our advice, but, you know, the amount of prep that we do by walking the golf course a couple of times, studying the weather, what it's going to be like, the elements, you know, it's not just about, oh, the golf ball's going to go this far, because sometimes it could be 30 degrees, sometimes it could be 5 degrees. So,
yeah,
you know, you've got to bring that in, the wind direction, where it's going to be, what sort of time of the day it's going to change wind direction. So it might switch about here. So that hole's going to play a little bit more different than, so even to the point where we stand on the range before we go out, and we might have a 5 wood or a 2 iron that we sort of swap over each week. Now, if I say, well, by the time we get to the back nine, we've got 2 par 3s there, or a par 3 and a long par 4, that it's going to be favourable for a 2 iron over a 5 wood, then we put that in instead of the 5 wood, and we go with that for our 14 clubs. So, yeah, it's there's a lot of work goes in behind the scenes as a caddy. It's not just about carrying the bag. But, again, it is their final decision. So we will give them our advice. And, you know, and if you're adamant that you've got this decision right, you've got to be able to sell it to them, and you've got to tell them the reason why this is the club, you know, and give them all the risk rewards, if you like. So you know, and it's an enjoyable job. It's pressurized, don't get me wrong. You've got literally 45 seconds to get to the ball, do your yardage and make your decision, and off you go. So you've got to be on the ball. There's no point in slacking behind and, you know, catching up with them and then having to rush things, because that's when you make mistakes.
It's I bet you wish you didn't hit it so far, because you've got, that bag's not light, is it?
No. The bag's around about 20 kgs. It's quite nice when the weather's good. So, like Dubai in a couple of weeks' time, when normally there's no rain, you can take all the waterproofs out, the brolly out, and it's a lot lighter. But then when we go to the Dunhill at the end of the year and it's freezing cold, we have mitts, hats, waterproofs, everything going on. So, it does get heavy at times. And then especially when you get to courses where it's very hilly as well. That's,
it's brilliant. We're just going to have a quick break and then we'll be straight back.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
If you see somebody showing any of the signs of a stroke, you don't have to think about it. You just dial 999. Use the FAST test. F, face. Has their face fallen on one side? Can they smile? A, arms. Can they raise both arms and keep them there? S, speech. Is their speech slurred? T, time. Time to call 999 if you see any one of these signs. Act fast, make the call, dial 999.
You saw me walking along the beach. You watched me turn around the headland, and the tide, it cut me off. The rocks were wet, too wet to climb, so I panicked. But you didn't. You dialed 999 and asked for the Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
And I just want to say, whoever you are, thank you.
In an emergency at the coast, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Inspire College courses for young people offer qualifications in maths, English and IT, plus vocational qualifications and traineeships in health and social care, hospitality, construction, sport and many more. With small class sizes, supportive tutors and study plans tailored to suit you and your needs, Inspire College can help you achieve your goals for work and education and also for life. You can also earn as you learn up to £100 a month, which won't affect any benefits. To find out how an Inspire College course can help you, call 01623 677 200 or visit inspireculture.org.uk/college.
We love local. Oh, yeah.
back to Radio Newark Sport with Corey Joyno and Steve Brotherhood here, golf caddy on the European Tour. What happened when you finished with Dave? So Dave came to a sad end, seven years, a long time.
Yeah, it's seven years, but, you know, Dave was struggling. Injury, as he getting older, the body wasn't holding out so good. So then I needed to find another job, and I worked for Richie Ramsey. So I did a year and a bit with Richie. Then I went on to David Horsey, Oliver Wilson, Nicholas Norgard Muller, which is the big hitting Danish kid. I say kid, he's 31 now, but he's probably one of the longest on tour. Hits it 320 metres through the air, which is, it's quite, wow. You have to be there to witness it. Stand up close and personal with him and watch this ball come off, because it is like a rocket. But again, like I said, everyone seems to be going that way. And then now I'm with young Freddie Schott, young German kid. Got his card last year, lost it. And then we went back to tour school in October, which tour school, let me tell you, is the worst event on the golfing calendar. It is the
most.
Is
it just one event?
Yeah, it's six rounds. At the start, there's about 900 lads go for the card, but it whittles down to like 200 lads for the last six rounds of golf. And it, the pressure, you know, the atmosphere, everything about the tournament is just horrible. Luckily for us, Freddie went on to win it. So he got his playing privileges again for 2024. So.
And he starts in a few weeks? A
couple of weeks' time, yeah, in Dubai, yeah.
In Dubai. Mm-hmm. So enjoy. It's going to be nice there.
Yes, a bit better than this wet weather.
It's not too hot either at this time of year, is it?
About 28, so it's still warmish, yeah. But it's not 50 like it is in the summer. So,
Before we go, I think we're going to have to get you back, Steve, because we've got a few things I've still not even touched on here.
Yeah.
Something close to your heart. I do want to touch on this. Is the autism thing that you do?
Yep.
Every couple of years, and you've raised loads of money. Yep. Just give us a little bit of spiel about that.
Okay, so I met a guy. So my lad Henry, 13 years old now. He was diagnosed with autism at the age of six. And again, through the schooling, they picked up on it straight away. Little traits on autism. And then I met a guy, Andy, who basically trains for a living, trains dogs to deal with autistic children. So I went and saw them, and we took Henry to see them as well, and we sort of had a chat about would one of these dogs be good for Henry. And it came out after all these forms were filled in that, yeah, Henry was suitable for one of these dogs, but the dogs weren't cheap. They're £8,500. So it was a lot of money to try and find for a dog, but God, I'm so glad we did, because these animals are just incredible, and how they look after the children with autism is quite amazing, really. So keep it quick, but I was talking to Tommy Fleetwood in his caddy on the range in Dubai just after we'd had this meeting, and I was telling him about the dog and everything and how he was going to do it. And that night on Instagram, a golf bag appeared online with me tagged in it from Tommy's caddy auctioning off this golf bag, and all the money's going to go to autism dogs.
Wow.
So I sent him a message saying, mate, that's incredible. So you didn't have to do that. He said, no. He said, we'd like to. So that raised about £1,500, which was an amazing start. And then about 3 weeks later, Tommy got in touch and said, right, we've done a charity golf day in America with UPS, and they've offered us $5,000 to put to a charity of our choice, and we've chose to give it to you. So straight away, I've got like $5,000 or $6,000 off Tommy and his caddy to put towards our dog, which was amazing. And then the villagers of Muscombe helped out, and before you know it, didn't really have to put a lot of money towards it for myself. So I thought, well, the generosity from them people that they've helped me out, I'm, you know, with the position I'm in, I could do something to give it back. So I've been doing these charity golf days every couple of years at Newark Golf Club, and they've been really supportive of me doing them. And, you know, all the players from the European Tour have signed things for me. So we do an auction in the evening. I organise the golf day, which has been sort of really well backed by the manufacturers of the European Tour, supplying me with prizes, etc. And we've made around about 40 grand in the 4 or 5 that I've done.
That's amazing.
So the plan is I'm doing another one in June the 15th at Newark. And the plan is to try and, the dogs have gone a bit more expensive now, they're about 12 grand now. Wow. So the plan is to try and raise £12,000 to put another kid through the programme that obviously, like me back in the day, couldn't really afford to find that kind of money. But, you know, and the beauty of it is the money that we raise, we're giving it to that charity. And we know that dog is going to that family and we know where the money's gone. So
let us know when that is, because we'd love to come along.
Yeah,
because I think it's a massive, massive cause.
It is.
And obviously you've got a first-hand experience of that.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I told you to go quickly,
Steve? You did.
Tell you what we'll do? Seeing as you remember and knew it,
yeah.
Should we give a shout out to a few of the lads you play with on our side? Because I know you've had a couple of texts.
I've had a couple of texts. Well, Stu Hutchinson, he got us here. So it was him that, we've got the Flying Wardrobe. I've had a couple of messages off him, Bruno. Pelly Ward's told me to tell you I hate golf and I only come for the beer. So there's a great group of lads at Newark. Saturday afternoon fiddle boys, there's around 60 of us most winters play together, and they're just a great group of lads. So, you know, again, I don't really enjoy the golf very much, especially in the winter, but the 2:30 onwards when we're having 5 or 6 beers and yeah, we're 6 deep and we're talking rubbish, it's brilliant. It's a great crack.
Absolutely. Steve, what can I say? Thank you so much.
Anytime.
For coming in. We'd love to have you back, because I think we've got loads more to talk about. Talk about the Tommy Fleetwood levels.
Yeah, yeah.
Jono, you enjoy that?
I most certainly have. I've just been sat here listening. It's been quite a good listen, to be fair.
Talking about golf, I'll get the bug back again. I know I'll get the clubs out again at some point. But really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hopefully see you again soon.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Take care.
Online, on FM, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.